Amen. Take your Bibles tonight. Find with me, if you would, the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And I'll hurry and be quick and get out of the way so we can get Brother Googe up here. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. And it is good to be back at Landmark Baptist Church. My wife asked me to tell everyone hello. And some of you evidently did not know. I assume with internet, social media, and all of that, that everybody'd know by now. But we are now expecting our fourth child. And my wife is a little over 5 months pregnant with our baby girl. Amen. Olivia Grace Stanley. My wife is tickled to death. The only thing she says is, couldn't have God given me a girl earlier in my age, amen. And but she is tickled, we're thrilled and glad and looking forward to it. I've been talking to her for quite some time. I told her if we'd have one more, we'd have a quartet, and she said, that's the problem. She said, I'm the only female in the house, and I can't hardly stand that already. She said, if God had promised me a girl, I'd have one tomorrow. But I'm glad God knows what he's doing. Pray for her. The doctors have they're just concerned about putting her on bed rest. We'll find out next Friday, having just some minor things. And so pray that that wouldn't happen for the sake of me and the other boys. We'll lose weight and waste away. Amen. No, I'm joking. But for her safety, and then, of course, the baby's safety as well. Joshua chapter number 14. Let me say I've appreciated the conference thus far. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Just the spirit. The singing has been terrific. The preaching has been wonderful, and I've enjoyed every moment of the whole conference. I appreciate how God just puts things together, meshes one message in with another message, and I was going to preach out of a different text and a different message this evening, but with the theme, the way things are going, this is what I believe God would have us to do. I'm not good at preaching themes, by the way, and the theme of the conference is Armor Up. And if I try to preach a series on a theme at church, it only lasts about two services, and then I get off track, and I'm the world's worst. But I believe this will tie in with a theme. Look with me, if you would, Joshua 14, verse number 6 is where we'll begin reading. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day. Now notice the phrase, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I want to preach along this theme this evening. I want to preach on wholly following the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, I ask you to be in the service tonight. Lord, I need you. I confess, dear God, that I need your power. I need your strength. I ask that you would speak through me. I ask that you would fill me. God, I ask that, Lord, that you would speak to the heart. I can speak to the ear, but Lord, I need you to speak to the heart. And God, I pray that you would do in the heart and lives of the hearer what you've done in my heart and my life because of this message and reading and studying and preparing for it. God, I pray that, Lord, that you would change us tonight. I pray that you'd speak to us. Bless Brother Gugis. He'll come in a few moments. And God, I just pray that tonight that the Spirit of God would have free reign with us, Lord, that tonight would be a night that folks would surrender to you, that folks would just sell out to you, that folks would just come and say, Lord, I want to wholly follow you, dear God. And Lord, that this would be a day that would change their life from here on. Now, God, I pray if there be somebody lost, that today would be the day of salvation. We ask this tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to look at the life of Caleb for a few moments here this evening. The context of the passage is the children of Israel, under the leadership of the new leader, Joshua, have entered into the promised land after fighting many battles. Now, let me say this very quickly. Some would say that Canaan land is a picture of heaven. I don't believe Canaan land is a picture of heaven. You say, why is that? Because there was many battles the children of Israel would have to fight as they entered into Canaan land in order to possess Canaan land. I don't have to fight a battle in order to enter into heaven. Jesus has already given me the victory. He's already laid down his life that I may go in, amen, that I may go free. He's paid the price so that I can spend eternity in the presence of God. My sins can be forgiven, and I do not have to go to hell. Aren't you glad for that tonight? But I believe this. I believe that Canaan land, the promised land, is a picture of the Christian life, amen. And by the way, I love the Old Testament. I love preaching the Old Testament. I love reading the Old Testament. I love hearing the Old Testament. Why is that, preacher? Because there's so many pictures, so many types. There's so much that we can learn from the examples of the people of God in the Old Testament. Joshua has brought the children of Israel into the promised land under his leadership, and they fought many battles. Now it comes time. The children of Israel are receiving their inheritance. And now Caleb is about to receive his, and he's reminding Joshua of some things. By the way, think about this for just one moment. Let me back up. When I think about victories, and God gave the children of Israel many, many victories, amen, as they journey through the wilderness, as they would come into the promised land. Can I say this? You can't have a victory without having a battle. A lot of folks think that the victorious Christian life is a life of no problems, a life of ease, a life in a bed of roses. But friend, that is not how you get victory. You get victory because you fight battles, amen. And I'm glad that as we stand firm for Christ and we fight our battles, I'm glad that he fights them with us and for us and through us, amen. I'm glad for that this evening. Here's a great picture before us. God saves us. He promises us that we can have a life of victory and we can have spiritual joy, but rather than claiming the what is rightfully ours as a child of God, things like power, things like victory, things like joy, things like fellowship and experiencing the glory of God, instead of claiming those things that God has provided for us and made a way that we may have and experience and enjoy, many of us choose to live in the spiritual wilderness, defeated and discouraged. Can I say, I do not want to live in discouragement. I don't want to live in defeat all my life. I'm glad that, listen, I don't have to live discouraged. I do not always have to live in defeat. So tonight, I want to look at the life of Caleb, and I want to point out four things about Caleb's life that if it don't bless you, I'm glad it's already blessed me, but I believe that if you'll ask God to bless me, ask God to speak to you, I believe it'll help you tonight. Number one, how was Caleb able to go to Joshua when it come time for him to receive his inheritance and say, hey, Joshua, do you remember what the man of God said to us? I mean, remember how long they journeyed in the wilderness? 40 years. I can't remember what I preached last Sunday. But Caleb remembered what the man of God said and what God himself had said 40 years ago. He hadn't forgot about it, amen. And so you'll notice in the passage, there's a statement that said over and over again. Matter of fact, if my count is right, 6 times this statement is made about Caleb in the Old Testament, that he wholly followed the Lord.
Six times I've counted in the Old Testament that that has been said, not only, listen, of Caleb himself, but God himself said that about Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord. Well, how was it that Caleb was able to wholly follow the Lord? I believe that, listen, he was committed. I believe that's something missing in Christianity today. That's something missing in churches today is commitment. That's something missing, listen, in church members today is commitment. I don't want to get off because I don't have much time, but isn't it amazing? Those of us that have kids and those of us that are pastoring people that have kids, they come and say, we can't make it to church on Sunday night because Johnny's got a T-ball game. And you know, I taught Johnny that, listen, whatever he starts, he finished. What about the day that y'all united with a local New Testament church? What about teaching him to finish what he started there? What about teaching him to commit to Christ from the very beginning and just stay faithful? I believe that it can be said about Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord because he was committed. When I think about that, it refers to the fact that Caleb was wholly following the Lord. It means this: he was committed to keeping the distance between himself and the Lord at a minimum. He didn't want to get far from God. He didn't want to get off, listen, in a wilderness way away. But I believe the thing on Caleb's mind as he journeyed through that wilderness was the promises of God. God made a commitment to Caleb. And I believe Caleb said, I'm going to make a commitment to God. I'm just going to stay close and I'm just going to follow God. I believe with every fiber of Caleb's life, he belonged to God. He realized that, listen, he was not his own, but listen, he was bought with a price. And that's what we're told in the New Testament. Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That's commitment. Can I say this about commitment tonight? Half-hearted Christians are faint-hearted Christians. Half-hearted Christians are faint-hearted Christians. And faint-hearted Christians never learn to conquer the giants in their life. Why? Because as soon as a giant comes, they faint and fall over. When they gather themselves back up, instead of facing the giant, they turn and they flee. By the way, a lot of us, I know we sing the song in junior church and on the buses in Sunday school about the 10 spies. How's it go? Somebody remind me. 10 bad and 2 were good. But you know, I was reading my Bible one day and this struck me. I preached a message on it earlier this year. Why good men fail? I submit to you that the other 10 weren't bad spies. They come back with a bad report, but I don't think they're bad men. You say, why is that, preacher? Look who Moses picked out. You think Moses would have picked out 10 bad ones? No. There were 10 good ones that went and they were looking at the wrong thing. Instead of looking at the promises of God and looking at the power of God, they were looking at the giants they were facing. I believe they were good. But listen, I believe they fainted. That's what I believe. I think about this. I think about Christians that are half-hearted or faint-hearted. I heard about the man up in West Virginia, Brother Scotty. His car broke down up there in the mountains, and his car had to coast down there to the bottom. He got a hold of a wrecker, a tow truck, to come and haul him to the shop to get the car fixed. Tow truck driver showed up and hooked the car up, and he said, sir, he said, why don't you go ahead and climb in the truck with me? He said, oh, no, sir. I'll ride right here in the driver's seat of my car. I'll feel much better and more comfortable that way. Tow truck driver said, all right, have it your way, whatever you want. He got in the tow truck and he started heading to the shop, and he was going down in them bottoms and he was coming up on them ridges, and boy, he come to the highest point in one of them mountains, Brother Scotty, and that old truck was just giving it all it had and struggling and pulling, and finally he made it over that mountain, got to the shop and got out. He's unhooking the car and the driver gets out, and the tow truck driver said, sir, he said, I didn't think we were going to get up that mountain. He said, man, he said, it took all this truck had. I didn't know if we were going to do it. The driver said, me neither. That's why I held my foot on the brake the whole way in case you didn't, I wouldn't go backward. That's funny, but that's how a lot of us Christians live our lives. Well, God, I'll follow you. But we follow, listen, like the cartoons with our brakes on. I think maybe we can make it. I think maybe God can, but just in case, I don't want to commit too much. Am I right or wrong? Am I just preaching to me, or is that how we live? I think about James, what he said. He said, a double-minded man's unstable in all his way. I don't think that's the way Caleb lived his life. Well, maybe God can keep that promise. I don't know. Oh, I hope God can keep that. I believe that, listen, Caleb, as he wandered through the wilderness 40 years, I believe he had his spiritual eyes fixed on that inheritance in the promised land, that God said, hey, Joshua, you and Caleb, hey, I've got something special for you fellas. Amen. Why? Because they trusted the Lord. Amen. I believe God has something special for us today if we'll just trust him. I believe God can do the impossible still today if we'll just trust him. Oh, that every Christian here tonight would just totally surrender to wholly follow the Lord our God. Holy, you know what that word holy means? It means this, completely. Surrendering our everything. That's what was said about Caleb in the Bible. D.L. Moody was saved at the age of 19. And D.L. Moody, as a young boy, heard an evangelist by the name of Henry Varley say this: the world has yet to see what God can do and through and with and for a man who's wholly committed to him. D.L. Moody heard those words and he said this to himself: by God's grace, I'll be that man. And because of that, he committed to following the Lord. And tonight, listen, he may not be exactly our stripe, but I believe there's going to be multitudes in heaven because a man decided, I'm just going to be committed to Christ. If nobody else will commit, this boy will commit. If nobody else will commit, this family will commit. If no other church will commit, this church will commit. If no other bus captain will commit, this bus captain will commit. Amen. Can I say this? I believe that Jesus desires just for us just to be totally committed to him, just totally surrender to him, that we would just wholly follow the Lord our God. Let me say this. I'm reminded again of James 4:8, where God says in his word, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Well, I would commit to God, but I just don't know if I can trust him. Can I say this? I only trust those who I get close to. And I've learned this in ministry. I'm careful about who I allow myself to get close to. Amen? But I'll say this. When I find somebody I can trust, I get closer. Can I say this? I'll give Dr. Carter my checkbook, my wallet, my credit cards, and I'm not going to think twice about having any extra bills, about any money coming up missing. Why? Because I've gotten so close to my preacher. I trust him. I trust him with my life. But can I say, as much as I trust my men of God, there's one whom I trust more. There's one who sticketh closer than a brother. There's one who promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. And God promised me in his word, if I draw near unto him, he would draw near unto me. Dear friend, can I say, what hinders many of us from wholly following the Lord our God is we're not getting close enough. Amen. Let me move on. Point number two. How was it that Caleb, well, it's said of Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord his God because of his confidence. Look with me in our passage of scripture in verse number 12. Actually, verse number 10. What was it? Here's this man at 85 years old. What gave him the idea that he could face the giants and take that mountain? Look with me in verse number 10. The Bible says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said. Jump down to verse number 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Preacher, where do you think Caleb got that confidence from? The Word of God. The Word of God. Preacher, what would move you to step out on faith and ship containers of 30,000 Bibles to missionaries on the foreign field when you don't have the money in the bank to send them containers? I'll tell you, God's Word. I've just learned that I can trust God. I'm glad I had a daddy that taught me, son, just live by faith and trust God. I'm glad when I went in the ministry, my daddy said, listen, son, God can do anything if you'll just keep faith in him. The Lord, listen, can move mountains if you'll just keep your faith in him. If you'll just get in that Bible, son, get a hold of some promises, boy, and hold on to that word, hold on to those promises, and just watch what God can do. Preacher, how in the world did an 85-year-old man, how's he able to go conquer them giants? How's he able to take that mountain? I'll tell you why. Because he had God's word on it. Hey, what would lead an 80-plus-year-old pastor in Haines City, Florida, to say we're going to pay off $300,000 in debt this year? All at the same time, we're going to send $500,000 to the foreign field. What would lead a man that's in his 80s to do such a thing when many men in their 80s, all they're thinking about is golf, fishing, and retirement? I'll tell you why. Because this man got a hold of some promises from God's word, and he's seen God move. He's seen God work. Amen. Christian, can I say this? We can have that same, it's already been said this morning, we can have that same faith. Why? Because that's not Dr. Carter's word. Friend, that's God's word. Amen. I think about you, go back. I was going to have you turn there, but for the sake of time, I won't. Let me read the passage to you if I could. In Deuteronomy, when the 10 spies come back and here comes Joshua and Caleb back, there in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, the re-giving of the law there, Moses speaking to the children of Israel, he says this, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children. Now don't miss this, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. God said that evil generation ain't going to see the good things. Can I say this? If you're not wholly following God, you're not going to see all the good God has for you. I don't want to rob myself of the good that God has in store for me because of my lack of faith to trust him. Can I tell you something? When I trusted him on March the 16th for salvation, can I say this? I trusted him for salvation. I'm still trusting him. He's taking me to heaven. Listen, there's not a doubt in my mind. I'm going to heaven. There's not a doubt in my mind. I'm saved. How do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible tells me in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. How do you know that, preacher? Because of God's word. Amen. I don't believe in my salvation because of some experience I had, but listen, my salvation is based upon the word of God. Me getting the things that God has for me, and it's not based on me, but it's based on my faith and trust in him and his precious word. Caleb's seen the promised land for 45 years. That vision had burned in his heart and as he wandered through the wilderness. And listen to me, while others complain, I believe that Caleb looked for a mountain where milk and honey flowed. I believe, listen, he looked for a place. He didn't forget about those grapes, Brother Googe. He didn't forget about what he saw. He didn't forget about the promises of God. And I believe this, I can't sing a lick, but Hector, I like the chorus we sang. And I believe that, listen, as old Caleb's thinking about that, listen, that hymn writer didn't write that hymn. I believe old brother Caleb wrote that hymn. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow and the grapes of Eshcol grow. I believe that was Caleb. A sword in one hand, amen. God's word in another hand. The deed, amen. Hey, that's mine. But Caleb, you're an old man. I don't care. You're going to see later on, he says, listen, I'm as strong now as I was then, boys. How? By the way, I don't think it was his own strength. I believe he was drawing strength from the Lord. Why? Because God made a promise to him. Let me move on. Can I say this? Caleb knew God had given it to him, so he claimed it. You say, oh, there you go, preacher. You're one of those name it claimants. No. But I believe when God gives us something, his word, friend, take it to the bank. I'm not here telling you tonight if you give to that and you give to that, that God's going to give you tenfold. But I'm telling you this, you won't outgive him. Amen. Give and it shall be given. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. We ain't got to be, we don't have to let the charismatics steal our joy, steal our victory, steal our word. And by the way, we ain't even got to allow them to steal our fundamentalism. I should have got a whole lot more amens there. Remember, it was about 20, 30 years ago, independent fundamental Baptists were in their heyday. They weren't ashamed to be fundamentalists, but we've sat to the side, quit wholly following God, quit trusting God, turned to the White House, turned, listen to everything else but God. Meanwhile, some corrupt, charismatic crowd stepped in, and they tried to steal everything from us. By the way, side note, preacher, the Muslims ain't stealing it, amen. I don't care if they're fundamentalists, amen. Listen, why are you fundamentalists? Because I believe the fundamentals of this book. Yes. Amen. Yes. Let me move on. Number three. I'm hurrying. I got about 6 minutes or so. Preacher, how do you think that Caleb claimed that mountain? What gave him what caused it to be said that he wholly followed the Lord? And what, at 85 years old, what would bring him to the place? His courage. He had some courage about him, something that's missing amongst a lot of Christians, amongst Christianity. Can I say this? Commitment led to confidence, and confidence led to courage. Can I say tonight, I'm not confident, and I don't have any confidence in me. Why? Because this flesh will fail me. This flesh has already failed me. Tonight, I'm a confident man, but my confidence isn't in me. It's in my Lord. My confidence is in His Word. Preacher, listen. Hey, my daddy didn't recommend Landmark Baptist Church because, so I could go learn about inspiration and all of that. I'll tell you why daddy recommended Landmark and why I came to Landmark, amen. Hey, because they already stood on inspiration. Amen. They already, Dr. Carter already had confidence in God's word. Dad didn't send me to a college in order so I would get confidence in God's word, but he sent me to Landmark because he knew I wouldn't lose my confidence in God's word. Amen. I believe this about Caleb's courage. He had to overcome the naysayers. It's been said already today, the naysayers. Listen to this. Numbers 13, verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Brother Humberto, that's exactly what you talked about this morning. You can't print a new Spanish Bible. I mean, you're outnumbered in that. And Dr. Carter, who do you think you are? You don't even speak Spanish, and y'all are just trying to cause problems, and you don't understand. It just can't be done. And you young preachers, I mean, what makes you think you can leave here? And by the way, I've never told this before, but I had a man leave my church about 2 years ago. And here was his reasoning. He said, Brother Chad, Brother Stanley, me and our family won't be able to come here no more. And it was a shocker. I said, well, can I ask you why? Have I done something? Is it something I've said? Is there doctrinal error? What is it? He said, oh, no. We're just feeling way too much pressure. Pressure. Okay. You're always pressuring us about soul winning. You're always saying soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. And them buses. When you come, you got more buses than you had people. And all you talk about is giving to the buses and missions. Don't you know we're doing all we can? We just feel pressured. Now, this is what really got me, Dr. Carter. Brother Stanley, what it all boils down to is this. You're trying to build a Landmark Baptist church in Waycross, Georgia. And I said, what's wrong with that? Amen. You're talking a lot like that Dr. Carter. I said, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. He thought he was going to tear me down. I said, don't let the door hit you, and you know the rest of the statement, amen. You see, he was trying to discourage me and tear me down and throw a cold blanket, a wet blanket on my fire. But you know what he did? I said, it's time to start another bus route. Yeah. It's time to start another soul winning time. Yeah. Listen, the naysayers, we're always going to face the naysayers. They said, listen, we can't do that. We can, amen. I'm glad my wife's not here to hear this. She'd be getting up running laps and you would think she was charismatic. You say, what you mean? I'm about to confess something to you. that I wouldn't ever say in front of my wife, I am stubborn. I'm stubborn. You say, well, isn't that a flaw? This week I was talking to one of the staff members at Landmark. And they said, well, you know, preacher's just stubborn. I won't tell you who it was, but he's sitting by you. But he said it in a good way. The context of it was good. He said, now, brother, you know when preacher gets something in his head, you ain't talking him out of it. When God lays something on his heart, brother, he's going to see it through. Come what may, no matter what the enemies say, I say this. I'm so stubborn and hard-headed that when somebody says it can't be done, I say, get out of my way, because you ain't stopping me. You tell me you can't build a church in a little country town in southeast Georgia, I say, get out of the way, and you watch what God can do. I'm not talking about me. And Landmark's not about preacher. It's not, look what Dr. Carter did. As I drove Brother Chitty around and showed him, he had enough wisdom to say, my soul, look what God has done with Dr. Carter. It wasn't about the man, but it was about a man that had enough courage, that was stubborn enough when they said, you can't run the buses, you can't start a college, you can't help with that Bible, you can't build a church on the King James. He said, watch me. You know what some of you young preachers need? You need enough courage that when your peers and others say, you can't, you won't, you don't, that you just plow them over and you say, I want that mountain. Amen. I got to move. I'm out of time. Let me share with you a fourth thing and I'm done. He had to overcome giants. There was giants in his way. Giants. Listen to the words of Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 14, verse 8 and 9. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 9, here they are. They're trying to encourage the multitude. They're trying to encourage all of their people. Listen to what they say. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. You know what a lot of folks say? They think it's rebelling against the preacher. They think it's rebelling against Caleb and Joshua. They thought it was all about rebelling. And even Moses thought they're rebelling against me, amen. And God would have to remind his men, they're not rebelling against you. It's not you, but it's me that they have a problem with. And so Joshua and Caleb say, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Woo! I thought about that and I feel like shouting right there. I mean, God said, hey, those giants, Joshua and Caleb looked and they said, hey, man, that reminds me of manna. That reminds me, listen, of provision. I've seen God take the enemy and use the enemy to supply, listen, for his people. And that's how Joshua and Caleb were looking at it. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Man, you ought to shout glory about that. Because that's not just about Caleb and Joshua. But dear child of God, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus, I'm here to submit to you. The Lord will be with you as well. You know what a lot of us do? We have giants in our lives. We have giants of discouragement, giants of... Anybody have a giant of finances in your way tonight? We've got one, our church. This Friday, 50,000 New Testaments and 15,000 whole King James Bibles will be completed in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Next Friday, they'll get loaded on a container, put on a ship for the Philippines to go to Brother Michael Trumpo. On December the 13th, we've got to write a check for $7,500 to the shipping company. I don't know about y'all, but this has been one of the slowest quarters since I've been pastoring financially. God has supplied, he's met every need. But there's not enough in there, preacher, to say, well, we'll just take it out of surplus. We have no surplus. We live by faith. You say, well, preacher, some of our people, well, why would you make a commitment we're doing that? I'll tell you why, because God put it on my heart. God gave me a burden. God gave me a vision. I heard the cry of Brother Trumple as he sat in my office with tears, preacher. When I said, what is it you need the most that we can do for you? It wasn't money, Brother Carter. It wasn't more help, but this is what he said. We need the Word of God. We can't get the Word of God. I can get a case of Bibles, but I need Bibles. And I said, Brother Trumple, I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to get them to you next year. Our people last week, we've been praying every Wednesday. How are you going to do that? Why, preacher, why would you commit our church? If you want to commit, you commit your personal funds, but you're committing us. I said, here's why. Because we're going to do what I've heard my preachers say and do for years and years. What's that? Take God out on a limb. Preacher, ain't that foolish? No, it's faith. You see, I'm not asking God to do something selfishly for me. It's not about our church. It's not about a group of people. But listen, it's about lost sinners who need the gospel. It's about Christians who don't have a word of God to grow by. And I believe God's going to provide it. I believe God's going to bring it in. I don't know how. I don't know where it's going to come from. But listen, I just believe. How can you trust that? How can you know that? Because I've seen it done in his life. I've seen it done in his ministry. I have a daddy who pastored, and I've seen it done in his life. I've seen it done in his ministry. But you know what I did a long time ago? I decided, Brother Googe, I can't live off of daddy's blessings. I can't live off of daddy's miracles. I can't always live off of how real God's hand's been in Dr. Carter's life. But I've had some times, Brother Fleur, where I've said, oh, God, I need you to do a miracle in my life. Oh, God, I need to see that in my ministry. Oh, God, I need you to come through for me. Not for me, but on behalf of others. And can I say this? I've seen them do it. Here's the problem. When I close, I'm done. I've got a lot more to say, but I quit right here. Many of us are facing giants of discouragement, finances, sickness, family distress, doubt, all kind of things. And here's the thing. We can do one of two things. We can look and say, look how great that problem is compared to God. And when we say it doubting God. Or we can say, look what a minor thing that is compared to the great God whom I serve. Preacher, how did Caleb able to do all that? I'll tell you how. Because there was a time in his life. There had to have been. Why? How do you know that, preacher? Because God himself said it. There was a time in Caleb's life that he said this. I'm just going to wholly follow him. I'm just going to wholly trust him tonight. There's probably some families here that just need to get on an altar sometime before you leave this place and say, we've got to just wholly follow you, God. There's some pastors here that you're facing some problems, some difficulties, some giants. You just need to get on an altar and say, God, I'm just going to have to wholly follow you. There's some young people here tonight, you need to do this. God, help me tonight and for the rest of my life just to wholly follow you. God, I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd bless the rest of this service, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's bow our heads a moment. Let's think about a little bit of what we've heard. Tremendous preaching Brother Chad just gave us. The message was right on point. The defeat of God's people is they don't wholly give themselves, completely give themselves to the cause. The scripture warns about a double-minded man, that his prayer is not even going to work. He's not going to receive anything from the Lord. I'd say to a lot of young people and all of us tonight, what are you holding back? What are you keeping for yourself? Where are you doubting God? You never go wrong. I've said this at times in my ministry to a congregation. When I was just a young man and surrendered to preach, I told God I'd give him always the benefit of the doubt. That's giving yourself wholly to the Lord. And that's the thing that counts. Let's stand for just a moment.